So, now, sound absorbing materials, which is exactly what your colleague asked for. What happens if we insert in a room some sound absorption? This is actually going to affect the reflected sound field and to reduce the reverberation, but also to reduce the sound level. So you must be very careful with sound absorption. It is not a fact always given that introducing absorption, the sound is better. As we have seen, there is a proper balance between early sound, direct sound, and reflection, reverberation. The absorption reduces the energy of reverberation, but if reduced it too much, actually the sound is worse. The level of the signal goes down, and the signal-to-noise ratio goes worse. So there is an optimal absorption to be inserted in each room. Too little is bad, too much is bad. Okay? So, don't think that absorption is always a good thing. It's not the solution of every acoustical problem. Let we create a general framework for understanding how the sound interacts with walls. We have a sound energy flux, a sound power, arriving against a wall, and this total energy divides in a number of different paths. One path goes through the wall in the next room or outdoors, and that is the transmitted energy. One path is reflected back in the same room where the sound was originating, and that is the reflected energy. One part of the total energy is dissipated into heat inside the wall, and this is lost, is the absorbed energy. Okay? If we divide each of these three amounts of energy by the incoming energy over the wall, we define three coefficients, three ratio, called R, I, and T. R is the reflection coefficient, is the reflected energy slash the incident energy. A is the absorption coefficient, is defined as the absorbed energy divided the incident energy, and T is the transmission coefficient, and is defined as the energy passing through the wall divided the incident energy. The sum of the three coefficients, by definition, is one. So, we can define the most important acoustical materials, sound treatment material, which are sound insulating material, which is a material which minimizes the transmitted power, and a sound absorbing material, which is minimizing the reflected power. Okay? Many people confuse absorbing material with insulating material. In reality, the properties of these materials are completely opposite. An insulating material is hard, it's heavy, it's stiff, is like concrete or like steel, a thick steel wall, 10 centimeters of steel, weighing tons, and incredibly hard, it can resist to a cannon shot. That is a perfect sound insulating material. Of course, it is not absorbing, it is reflecting. Instead, how is a sound absorbing material? Sound absorbing material is soft, is porous, is like mineral wall or glass wall, or it is like a soft carpet, or it is like the grass outdoors. Those are absorbing material. They are not reflecting back, but not necessarily it is material insulate. A thick carpet is actually leaving a lot of energy passing through. This doesn't matter, because what we are interested in today is to have a weak reflection. Sound absorption means weak reflection. We don't care where the energy which is not reflected is going. What is important for us, being in the same room as the source, is how much energy is reflected back inside our room. Who cares if our next neighbor listens to our voice or noise or not? We don't care. We are only interested in what happens here inside our room. So how much energy is being reflected? The reflection can be specular. A specular reflection occurs when the wall is smooth, the surface has no roughness, and the surface is large compared to the wavelength. Under this condition, the reflected sound obeys to the Snell law. The Snell law is the specular reflection law, like in optics, like with light. And according to the Snell law, the reflected sound, which is really generated by the sound source S in this position, it is like if the reflected sound is in reality coming from a mirror image source, which is the specular reflection of the real source on the surface of the wall. So for the receiver in this position, the sound reflected from the wall appears to originate from a mirror source, which is obtained by symmetrical projection of this source over this planar surface. Okay? So you connect your mirror source with the receiver and you find the reflection point. Of course, the sound is being heard in this position depends on the acoustical property of the wall in this region. It doesn't depend on the acoustical property here or here, because if I am here, the sound, the reflected sound which I am listening, comes from this point. Okay? So if the acoustical surface properties of this material are not the same everywhere, what I am going to listen is depending on the acoustical property only in a small area around this point. The other part of the surface can be absorbing or not absorbing. It doesn't matter for me until I stay in this position. Okay? Another fact. For me, who am listening to the reflected sound, it does not matter where the energy not being reflected is going. We have in this case a mineral wool layer with a thickness of 50 mm, and this material is absorbing 70% of energy. Actually, is not really being absorbed inside the mineral wall. Simply, the mineral wall makes so that it is not reflected back. If the mineral wall is over a thin wooden plate, then a significant part of this not reflected energy will pass through the wooden plate and come in the next room. If instead, here we have a very thick wall made of bricks and concrete, mortar and bricks, tenth, this wall is very heavy, it's very stiff, almost nothing passed through. But for me, who am in this other room, there is no difference between these two cases, because what I listen is the reflected energy, and the reflected energy is 30% in this case, and in this case, it does not matter. So, actually, what we use as coefficient of absorption, alpha, is not the true absorption coefficient, because we are not interested in how much energy goes into heat inside the wall. We are interested in how small is the reflected energy. So we define the acoustical absorption coefficient alpha as A plus T. A was the true absorption coefficient, and T is the transmission coefficient. And if we remember the relationship between A, T and R, this means that alpha is 1 minus R. Okay? So this is called the apparent absorption coefficient, alpha, which is not the true absorption coefficient, A. In acoustics, we only deal with alpha. A and T are substantially not employed. Okay? So, when you characterize a surface, the question is, how large is alpha? Alpha contains both the information of A and T, but in practice the real information is 1 minus R, so how much energy is not reflected. A large value of alpha means that a small amount of energy will be reflected back. So, what's the effect of absorbing surface into a room, inserting absorbing material inside the room? There are basically two effects. One, it reduces the sound level, and one, it reduces the reverberation. Now we are talking about sound level. Sound level is reduced only because the reverberant field is being reduced. If you are close to the source, when the receiver is less than the critical distance from the source, adding absorption to the room doesn't give you a strong reduction of sound level. The only effective way for reducing the sound level is to bring the receiver more far from the source, because the sound is dominated by the direct sound and not by the reflected sound, because the distance is smaller than the critical distance. If instead you are with your receiver at least at 3 times the critical distance, then the direct sound is already weak. Most energy is in the reflected sound. Under this hypothesis, you can get a significant reduction of level introducing absorbing material. The total absorption area, large A, will increase, and the sound level reduction will be proportional to the increment of the total absorption A. In practice, the sound reduction you can hope to get when the distance is large compared with the critical distance, the reduction is 10 times the logarithm of the ratio between A2 and A1, where A2 is the total absorption after the introduction of the absorbing material, and A1 was the total absorption before you did introduce your absorbing materials in the room. So this is the kind of improvement you can get by introducing absorption, a reduction of the reverberant sound field of several decibels. If you double the absorption, you get a reduction of 3 decibels. Okay? If you make your total absorption to become 4 times the original one, you get a total reduction of 6 decibels. This is more or less the range where we are moving when we are talking of introducing sound absorption inside a room. The total level will go down. This is good if this is the level of noise. This is bad if it is the level of your speech. You don't want to take away amplification. This will cause more problem of signal to noise ratio, because the signal is going down, and if the noise does not go down the same amount, then you have troubles. You did not improve the acoustic, you make it worse. As said since the beginning of this lesson, reverberation is not your enemy in any case. Reverberation is a problem in a church with 5 seconds reverberation time. Reverberation is not a big problem in this classroom. In an even smaller classroom, reverberation is your friend, because it avoids the need of mount loudspeakers. Okay? So, if you add absorption in a small classroom, probably the situation becomes worse, because the level goes down, and on the other side, instead, there was no need to reduce the reverb, because the reverb was already short, so it was not destroying intelligibility. Okay. Yes. This is another topic, at the end of the lesson. It has to do with scattering, diffusion. We will go to that. So, let's talk now about the materials which are employed for providing absorption. These can be typically of 3 types. Porous materials, like mineral wool, acoustic resonator, like vases or bottles or cavities, and vibrating panel, like wooden plates or similar things. Of course, you can also have a hybrid system coupling 2 or 3 of the basic absorption mechanisms. Let me start with porous material. The most typical case is to use foam and to attach it directly over walls. You know, these foams of polyurethane or similar things are often seen in recording studios or in other rooms where you want the sound to be very dry. You can glue them directly against the hard walls. Second possibility is to suspend a ceiling below the concrete and brick horizontal structure, leaving some air between the absorbing layer, which is this suspended ceiling, and the hard wall. We will see that the effect is quite different if you attach the soft material directly against the wall or if you leave air in between. In the case you attach your material directly against the wall, you get an absorption curve, which means the spectrum of the value of alpha versus frequencies, which has this typical behavior. It starts at a quite low value, at very low frequency, then it goes up to a maximum and stays flat. The maximum is always around 90%, never 100%, of course. For this kind, it was felt, the material. Well, actually, with mineral wool, you really go very close to 100%. But with other material, like carpet, like fabric, and so on, the maximum value is lower. In this case, it was felt, and the value is around 90%. the thickness of the felt give you the frequency at which you reach the maximum. The thicker the carpet, the lower will be the frequency where you get the maximum value. So if you want to absorb very low frequency, you need a very, very thick carpet, which is not feasible in many cases. It is expensive, you cannot walk over it because it is too soft, and so this is a problem. So this kind of material, a soft material glued directly against a rigid wall, only absorbs medium to high frequency and is not effective at low frequency. Okay? But what happens if we leave a space of fire, in this case 9 centimeters of fire, between the absorbing material and the rigid wall? In these cases, the situation is completely different. You get a peak of absorption at a frequency where this distance equates a quarter of the wavelength. It is the wavelength / 4 rule. At a distance, if you want to absorb a given frequency, you must leave an higher gap of a thickness so that this thickness is 1/4 of the wavelength. And this gives you the maximum absorption. Then, at a frequency which is twice this one, you get a sort of anti-resonance. So the absorption comes to a minimum. Again, at 3/4 the wavelength, you get another peak, and so on. Now the chart is stopping here, but these peak and valley things goes ahead for 5-6 times, okay? So having a higher gap provides better absorption at low frequency, and again, the deeper the gap, the thicker the higher gap, the most low is the frequency at which you get the first peak of absorption. Still, for getting absorption, say at 100 Hz, you will need 1 meter of higher gap, which is not practical in many cases. It takes a lot of space getting absorption at very low frequency with this kind of trick. Okay? So you must be aware of this effect, but you cannot use it at your advantage for getting absorption, say, at 20 or 50 Hz. It will mean to have very large air gaps, losing a lot of space in your room. So there are these other two techniques, the acoustic retortionator and the vibrating panel. These are different. In a small space, if you tune properly this Helmholtz resonator, which is a cavity with a neck communicating with outside, you can make so that the resonating frequency of this vase is the one you want, and at the resonating frequency which is obtained with this formula, you get an absorption peak which can be very high, not 100% again, but it can be 0.8 quite easily. Then, if you insert some absorbing material inside the cavity, you get less absorption, but you get a broader peak, a wider frequency range where the resonator works. If you leave your vase empty, it is going to be a very selective absorber, absorbing only one very narrow frequency band where it absorbs a lot, and another at other frequency it does absorb very little. So it is an easily tunable, very effective absorber which can work at every frequency, and usually these are employed at very low frequency because it is where the other traditional absorber don't work. The last type of absorber is still of a resonating nature. So the idea for both the Helmholtz resonator and the vibrating panel resonator is that if you have a structure which is going in resonance, is capturing energy from the sound field and it is dissipating into heat in mechanical loss due to the vibration. You must be aware that musicians did not understand absolutely the concept of resonance. They think, being completely wrong, that if a surface is going in resonance, that is making the sound louder. It's completely false. If a structure is resonating, it's dissipating energy. If the structure is giving back energy, it means that it is hard and rigid and absolutely not resonating. So, in theory, at maximum, 100% of the incoming energy can be reflected back. In any case, a surface can never reinforce the sound. How the hell energy can come from nothing? Even if it was true that at resonance the sound is not dissipated, is being re-radiated, still it cannot irradiate more energy than it received. So, a passive structure where you don't inject electrical power cannot radiate more energy than the energy impinging over it. Okay? So the concept that the resonance reinforces sound is completely broken and wrong. Nevertheless, musicians refuse to accept this very simple physical fact. It is one point where engineers and musicians were never according, because they think that resonance, first of all, for them resonance is a good thing. Generally, oh, what a nice resonance. Resonance is a nice word for a musician. Ah, nice resonance. Instead, resonance can often cause very selective absorption. So when in a concert hall there are wood panels resonating out of control, possibly in the response curve of the room you will see a gap, because there will be a frequency where all the energy is being captured by this resonance structure. So you get a notch in the response of the room, and that is a bad thing for playing music. Instead, musicians love this concept that the system is resonating, because they confuse an active thing, like the musical instrument, where the sound is actually being transformed from a mechanical form into the violin. The energy is given to the violin by the arm of the player. So it is giving energy, mechanical energy, to the instrument. When the instrument is resonating, then it better transfers the mechanical energy into acoustical energy. So in that case, resonance means radiation and means more sound, because it is an active structure. But when you have a passive structure where the energy is already in the sound field and is transferred from the sound field to the body, then resonance means good coupling, means good transfer, means a lot of energy from air will go to structure, so it's going away from the acoustic field. In an active surface, okay, there is still fluid structure interaction. At resonance, this transfer is very efficient, but now the flow is in the other direction. The mechanical energy is being radiated into air. So there, resonance means loud sound. But for a wall, resonance means taking away sound. Okay? It's clear as a concept. So the physical concept is the same. At resonance, the vibration of this panel are well coupled with vibration of air. Resonance means to vibrate together, to match the vibration. When the two fields, the mechanical field and the acoustical field, match together, the energy transfer in both directions is easy. So if the source is radiating more. But if the source is receiving more, so it's absorbing. Okay? It's clear the concept. this is the resonance of a vibrating panel. Again, it depends on the distance of the panel from the wall, but it also depends on sigma. Sigma is the surface density of panel. So, adjusting properly distance and weight of the wooden table, usually that is wood or gypsum boards. In this case, in this room are gypsum boards. This room are actually vibrating panels, these walls. At low frequency, they absorb. You see a hard, smooth wall, it looks reflecting. But actually, at low frequency, is a very good absorber, this wall. Because it is a vibrating panel, at the frequency at which it resonates, it takes away a lot of energy from this room. This sound will go in the next room, but this is a double layer in between, in this case, there is minor allure, which dissipate the energy into head. So, this kind of room absorbs the energy at low frequency, but it does not transmit this energy to the next room. This is a vibrating panel, which is the third technology for getting absorption, and this is very effective at very low frequency. Instead, it's very difficult to operate this thing at high frequency. You need very thin and very light structure for being able to resonate at high frequency. It's not easy. Something like an aluminium foil, for example, but it's not so easy. These are hybrid systems. You have typically a external layer which is more rigid, but it has holes. There is air cavity in between. The cavity can be separated or it can be a continuous cavity, and you can have a porous material behind this perforated sheet. The perforated material can be wood, can be steel, can be aluminium, can be plastic, can be gypsum. Any kind of material has been employed in this way. And those kind of absorber, which can be flat, or like in this case, these are conical structures, which are suspended under the ceiling with a spring, these kind of absorption surfaces are very effective. You can see, for example, here a typical suspended ceiling, often employed in conference room or inside offices, workplace, and you see this wooden plate with holes, a thick layer of absorbing material, which in most cases you see it is white. This is polyester fiber. It is a material which is obtained by the plastic bottles of water. It's a recycled material. Quite cheap and very effective. Chemically, absolutely good. It doesn't release dust, it doesn't release particle, it is safe in case of fire, it is a toxic, you use it for bottled water, so you can drink through it. It is a very nice material, polyester fiber. In this case, you have a vibrating panel which absorbs the low end of the spectrum, but then you have the resonator, which are usually tuned at medium frequency, and then you have this thick layer of polyester fiber, which instead absorbs high frequency. You remember, the absorption of the polyester like this one. This is the absorption of the vibrating panel, but there are also resonators, so the sum of the three provides you with a very nice overall absorption, which is almost flat at every frequency. These kind of surfaces are really good. They provide good absorption, flat over the whole spectrum. This is an example of using several of these materials. This is our listening lab, located at the Casa della Musica. It is in center, in Parma, Piazzale San Francesco. Upstairs we have this small listening room for just one seat. You see there is only one seat. There are 16 loudspeakers all around, and the room is heavily damped with different materials. Here you see those large plastic bottles. These are those large plastic bottles used in office for drinkable water. And we did steal, actually, a number of them, because they use it at La Casa della Musica, they have it downstairs. Every time there was one empty, we were stealing it and bringing it upstairs. No one did discover us while doing this crime. And so now we collected a large number of these plastic bottles, which have been tuned carefully at different frequency, providing low frequency absorption. Then this wooden box here is called a bus trap. It's a closed box, but if you look carefully, there are small holes in the front of this wooden plate. And these holes give you Helmholtz resonator behavior. There is some absorbing material inside, and the holes don't have all the same size and the same spacing, so the single resonators are tuned to different frequency, and it provides, again, broadband low frequency absorption. Then there are porous panels, the typical wavy polyurethane foam, which is very commonly employed in a recording study or similar things. And then there are vibrating panels. These are wooden panels placed in front of the windows, creating more insulation from outside, but also creating very low frequency absorption. So in this room, you see all the four type of absorber used together. And now your question. What if the surface is not flat, smooth? If there is roughness? If the surface has some roughness, what happens is that a fraction of the reflected energy will not obey the Snell law and go in the specular direction. It will be spread more or less uniformly all around. There are different scattering models. There is the Lambert model, there is uniform scattering model, there are other shape. This is uniform, but is not the only way in which the reflected sound can be scattered all around. It depends on the shape of this roughness and on the fact that the size of this roughness here is closer, not to the wavelength. The fact is that with certain type of structural surface, not smooth, you can get this scattering effect. So we can define a scattering coefficient S. S is defined as the ratio of the diffused energy divided the total reflected energy, that is the sum of the diffused energy and of the specularly reflected energy, because for most material the scattering coefficient is typically less than one. So a fraction of the incoming energy is still reflected specularly. There are some very special diffuser which diffuse almost 100% of the incoming energy. Okay? Is a good thing to get diffusion or not? It depends on what you want to obtain. In certain cases, a specular reflection is good. If I place a reflection just behind my head while I am talking, that is like having a loudspeaker here, reinforcing my voice. For this kind of reflector, getting diffusion is not good, because I want a specular reflection in that case. In other case, instead, for example, the end wall of this room, that causes an echo coming back. That is not nice. If that wall is scattering, it's definitely much better. The same for the ceiling. Remember that the sound reflected from the ceiling, if it arrives the same on the 2 years, is not improving the spatial envelopment effect. You like lateral reflection, but reflection from the ceiling are not good for envelopment. So making the ceiling scattering And in this room, these gradons are actually doing that. So having a structural ceiling instead of a flat ceiling usually is good. And heavily decorated ceiling, like in some famous concert hall, the most famous one is probably Musikverein in Wien, in Vienna. That ceiling is all decoration and all the room. And that is really very good for the quality of sound. Provide a very enveloping sound with sound coming from every direction, but without echoes, without very strong discrete reflection. So, generally speaking, scattering is a good thing, except for the final surface, which are designed as reflectors, and that must be very smooth and thin. Okay? Then, how can we build materials designed for scattering? These are called acoustic diffusers. You see some examples here. These are unidirectional scattering surfaces which only scatter the sound horizontally. And this is a bidimensional scattering surface. This is typically used for ceiling, and that scatters the sound in both directions. Okay? These are typically used for walls, because there you don't want to scatter the sound towards the floor or towards the ceiling. For a wall, you only want to scatter it horizontally. So it's quite typical to see this vertical structure with these beams which spread the sound horizontally. There are various types of this surface, as you see. Some are patented, some the patent is now expired, and so on. But they are very effective in doing this effect. This type of structure is what is called surface scattering. But there is another type of scattering which we are going to see now. The brand, the reference brand for scattering system for acoustic diffuser is RPG. RPG is an American company owned by a guy named Peter D'Antonio, of Italian origins, of course, but he's American, he don't speak Italian. And he patented a number of these designs, and he did sell a lot of things to recording studio, to listening room, to concert hall, and so on. Because adding scattering is very useful. In ancient building, scattering was intrinsic, due to the decor, to the all the things they did place for aesthetics, and that was very effective for good acoustics. Modern architecture instead, unfortunately, privilege very clean surface with very little structuring, and so perhaps made by glass, or made by steel, or aluminium, completely flat. It is terrible. It produces a lot of specular reflection with little scattering. So adding this wooden plate in the center of the wall breaks the waves, makes scattering, and ameliorates the sound. Some of these things are also absorbing, but the design of those diffusers usually is done for minimizing the absorbed energy. So the total reflected energy, the scattered plus the specular, in principle, should be as close as possible as the impinging energy. Because the goal of this material is not to absorb energy, is to reflect it back, but not specularly, to diffuse it spatially. Okay? Another technology with the same goal, but with quite different results, is the use of curved convex surfaces. This is typically employed for the orchestra shells. The orchestra shells are these structures which are employed in theater with a stage, not in a concert hall. In a concert hall there is no stage, no proscenium, no siparium, nothing of that. The musicians are inside the room. But in many countries, like in Italy, we don't have concert hall, we have theaters. And in a theater, there is a big stage tower behind the proscenium, which is a completely separate building with an incredible volume, which can be 3-4 times the volume where the people is seated, and with a lot of reverb, and with terrible acoustics, and it is not nice for the musician to play inside this big stage tower. So they need an enclosure. They need an enclosure which separates them from the stage tower and couple the acoustical field which they receive, which they hear, to the acoustical field which the audience is listening. So it creates a smaller room, which is a single unique room, which there is very good contact between audience and musician. This is the goal of the acoustical shell. Almost every theater which is also used for concert needs an acoustical shell. The acoustical shell are often built with this kind of gently carved surfaces. These provide not such large scattering as this surface. They provide just a gentle redistribution of the wavefront, which partially maintain their specular nature. In terms of impulse response, the impulse response of a surface like this one is still a peak. But this peak can be heard everywhere because the sound is being spatially redistributed. But temporally it stays coherent, it is still a peak. Instead, this kind of surface have an impulse response, which is like a reverberant impulse response. The energy spread over time because the sound goes inside this cavity and comes back after a while, after 4, 5, 6 oscillations. So in practice, the reverberant sound field generated by this structure is very smooth in time. Instead, this is very sharp in time. So the sonic effect is not the same. Even if the scattering coefficient F, S, perhaps is exactly the same. So you can have two structures, one like this one, and the other like this one, curved, which have exactly the same scattering coefficient S, but they don't sound the same. So what will be needed here is another acoustical parameter telling the difference between these two ways of scattering sound: geometrical diffusion and surface scattering. In English, there are two specific words. That is called surface scattering and that is called geometrical diffusion. In Italian, unfortunately, people confuse the two terms. We have no equivalence of scattering. We call all this diffusione in Italian. And in Italian, it's very difficult to understand if you are going to buy a diffuser or a scatterer. Okay? That is the final technique you can use for control room reflection in a room. Because remember, you don't have just to absorb room reflection. You have to design the proper amount of reflection, which will never be zero, because an anechoic room is terrible. You cannot stay inside an anechoic room for more than 5 minutes, then you go crazy. We need room reflection. We need the good amount of room reflection. The good direction, lateral, horizontal reflection are nice. Reflection from above are not so nice. You need the good scattering effect, creating a diffused sound field, because this is, in most cases, much better than having specular reflection. Okay, that's all. Other questions?
You talked about the classical architecture and the sound performance of classical orchestras, and I was wondering if modern or modern architecture, there has been an improvement, a real perceptible improvement in the sound performance of
What happens is actually architecture and music evolve together. So every kind of architectural breakpoint, when you change completely something, is often accompanied by a breakthrough also in music. When there was the switch between Vivaldi or Mozart, that is classical music, to romantic music, that is Beethoven, the theaters or the space where music was performed did change accordingly. Who is the egg and who is the chicken? That's the question. In some case, the geometry of the room did boost a change in music. In some other case, it was the opposite. The most well-known case was Wagner. Wagner had his own ideas on a spatial distribution of sound in the room, and he did design a special theater, Bayreuth, for his music. So in that case, the musician became architect and designed a theater for that special kind of music. In the history, other cases were the opposite way. New buildings were created. Previous music did not suit this building, so typically the court musician was asked by the king or by the lord to create new music for that new space because previous music did not suit that space.
But what about the auditoriums that nowadays, for instance, host the concert of classical music of the late Romanticism music? You talked about Wagner.
Okay, so contemporary music of past centuries.
Yes, exactly. So, were there improvements in this kind of course of music, Greek orchestral music with modernist auditoriums, or the performance is more or less the same?
No, the improvement was very evident, but did not happen here in Italy or in South Europe. In North Europe, there was an evolution of a new type of concert hall, the so-called vineyard concert hall, in which the orchestra is in the center, and you have a number of balconies facing all around towards the orchestra, and that was designed for modern music. This doesn't fit very well other kind of music like opera. You cannot perform opera in this kind of room. There is no stage, there is no scenery, there are only musicians in the center. In Italy we have only a few examples of this kind of concert hall, probably just one, which is in Rome, the Santa Cecilia Large Auditorium, designed by Renzo Piano, acoustical consultant Mr. Muller from Munich. This is a very large room with more than 2,500 seats, and the ceiling is completely diffusing with this kind of surface, but in that case they are double curvature. They are not cylindrical shape. They are curved in both ways, and making the wood curved in two directions is very tricky. They did cost a lot, this kind of diffusing surface. So that is the only one example in Italy. But if you just cross the Alps and go to Austria, Germany, Denmark, Netherlands, north of France, England, or also East countries like in Varsavia or in Repubblica Ceca. Okay, in this kind of country, North Europe, Middle European countries, they developed this tradition of having this kind of concert halls designed only for live music, without amplification and without any kind of staging, with only musicians playing. And this evolved according with the music. So, for example, for Stockhausen, this kind of rooms did not have only one stage, because Stockhausen did want to have several points in space. So there are some of these rooms which have two stages, with the audience in between. Or there are other rooms where there are small satellite stages raised against the walls, particularly in France. I remember, I think in Lille, there is one room like this one, with, it is like still a vineyard, but some of the balconies are not for the audience, but are for musicians. So we have music groups over the balconies. So those things did evolve quite significantly, but not in Italy, not in south of France, not in Spain, not in Greece, and so on. Not in Mediterranean country, I would say. So this is there is a cultural gap. In Italy, we have our oar-shaped theater, and we tend to make any kind of performance here. We make drama, we make ballet, we make opera, we make symphonic music, romantic music, chamber music, everything. Which is wrong, because every kind of this event should have a dedicated space for this. Or a multi-purpose room with variable acoustics, which is the other solution, of course. Rotating panels, absorbing curtains which can roll down or roll up, reverberant room you can open for increasing the volume, the ceiling we change, we can move the ceiling, you can do all these tricks. For making one single room which can be adapted to different type of music or of drama, of ballet and so on. Okay.
A question. When I look at the industry, I saw the sort of materials. We have the wooden materials of mass producers. Now, my question is, if you would have used and plastic wood materials,
there is no good material due to their chemical structure. The problem is the physical structure. If you use plastic for creating a hard plate like this table, this will be a strong reflector and no absorber. But if with the same plastic, the same ABS, for example, you mold a structure like this one, it becomes a scattering surface. The material is the same. If you create holes, you can create Helmholtz resonators. If you make this layer in plastic with holes, then it becomes an absorber at the frequency of the resonator. If you extrude the plastic and make it like foam, then it becomes a porous absorber. The chemical content of the material is the same. The acoustical behaviors change completely depending on shape and on microstructure present or of more or less vacuum parts. So the same for wood, the same for glass. Think to glass. Glass is the most extreme part. If the glass is like this one, is a perfect reflector. But if the glass is fiberglass, it becomes an incredible soft layer absorbing a lot. And chemically is the same. It's still glass. So there is no a good material or a bad material. Aluminium is another example. A thick layer of aluminium, like the shield in front of your desk, I don't think this is aluminium or steel, but this is the same. Think it is aluminium, then it is a perfect reflector. But with aluminium, you can make it sinterized. Sinterized aluminium is like a foam of aluminium being cooled down and became solid. This is a strong absorber. If with the aluminium, you create a structured surface like this one, it becomes a scatterer. It's always aluminium, chemically is the same, acoustically is completely different. The same with wood, the same with anything, with concrete. Concrete can be a strong reflector like here, but there are concrete panels to make this way. So, musicians always think that wood is good. But that is a bad idea, again. Wood is like glass, is like steel, is like concrete. It depends on this factor to get some acoustical property or the opposite property. Good is not always nice. It's nice to see, but it is not always optimal acoustically for a given room. If you say, oh, this room has bad acoustic, let's cover everything by wood because wood is good. You did not understand anything. Wood is not as better than concrete or like glass. It depends the shape on the presence of cavities and so on. Okay. Okay, I think for today it was enough.